Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast. Today is Stage 2, a 168.5-kilometer flat stage from Dunkirk in France all the way up to Ghent in Belgium. Today was a very flat stage. There were no categorized climbs, and there are three intermediate sprints. Going into today's stage, in the yellow jersey, Fabian Cancellara from Team CSC. In the green jersey, yesterday's stage winner, Robbie McEwen from Australia and Predictor Lotto. In the white jersey, Vladimir Gusev from Russia and Team Discovery. And finally, in the polka dot jersey, David Miller, who had a stellar performance in yesterday's Stage 1 from London to Canterbury. And of course, he's from Great Britain and the Sonier Duval team. Today's stage, for the most part, was without great deals of excitement until we got to the end of the stage. But first, just a quick rundown of the summary of today's racing. There was an early breakaway of three riders at about the 18-kilometer mark. Those three riders were Ruben Perez from Spain and Team Euskaltel, Cedric Hervé from France and Team Agritubel, and Marcel Seberg from Germany and Team Milram. There were three intermediate sprints, as I mentioned earlier, on today's race. The points for each of those went to the men who were in that breakaway, the three-man breakaway. And on the first sprint, which was in a town called Bozingen, the points went to, respectively, Cedric Hervé, Ruben Perez, and Marcel Seberg. On the second sprint at Westende, the points went to Seberg, Hervé, and Perez. And then on the final sprint in Arcelen, the final points went to Perez, taking the first place points with Hervé in second and Seberg in third. This really shows one of the great things about the Tour de France and about professional cycling. You know, that's gotten a lot of flack over the last few months and years over the various scandals in professional cycling, but there is great honor among the cyclists. If you look, Hervé won points for winning one of the sprints, and then Seberg won points for winning one of the sprints, and then they allowed Perez to win the final sprint so that they had each won points, first place points, in the sprints. They had each won the bonus money that came with winning each of those sprints, and I just think that that shows great honor among the cyclists. In addition to the honor that's shown among the cyclists, there's a lot of respect that's shown for cyclists as they go through their hometown. So, for instance, one of the hardest working domestiques of the Predictor Lotto team, Wim Van Sevenant, went in front of the peloton at one point as they went through his hometown so that he could salute his hometown. It was interesting watching the Versus coverage because Phil Liggett thought that Wim was going for a break to go chase after the break. And instead, he was just saluting his hometown, and the peloton knew what he was doing. They allowed him to move up to the front. The same thing happened when Tom Bonin went through his hometown. He went up to the front of the pack. And of course, Robbie McEwen, while he's Australian, he lives most of the year, most of the cycling year in Belgium. And of course, when he went through his hometown today in Belgium, he also went up to the front of the peloton. It's a nice tradition and something which I think shows a lot of respect for the individual riders as well as for all of these great cycling towns that the Tour de France is going through. There were several points in the race today where it appeared that the peloton was going to reel in the brake, and they just couldn't do it. Even at the 60-kilometer mark, it appeared that the peloton was going to be reeling them in. The gap went down to about 2 minutes and 50 seconds, but then went back up to over 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and it remained that way up until the riders got to about the 20-kilometer mark, and then they really put on the gas to try to catch that brake, and they held out for a very long time. Now, before that, there was one crash at the 135-kilometer mark in today's race. It involved Frank Schleck and Inigo Cuesta, but they both were able to get back up and get back racing into the peloton, and that was great. And it seemed like everything was going to go well until the dark clouds came in and the rain began, and then it seemed obvious that this was going to be a treacherous uphill sprint finish to the end of today's stage two. And indeed, it was, because just under the 3-kilometer mark, we experienced a horrific crash. They were on a narrow road, a couple of riders went down, and there was no way for the other riders in the peloton to get around them, and we had about 20 or 30 riders all go down, including the yellow jersey of Fabian Cancellara. It was a scary situation. The television cameras continued to roll on the 20 or 30 riders who were able to break away ahead of the peloton and the crash. By this point, the brake had been caught, and now it was time for the sprinters' teams to try to lead them out and get them to victory in today's stage. Team Quickstep led the pack to the uphill finish to try to get the win for their Belgian sprinter, Tom Bonin. His leadout man, Geert Stigemans, actually ended up taking the win, however, because he was simply unable to decelerate because he had riders so close on his wheel. Nevertheless, Tom Bonin took second place and Filippo Pozzato took third. As they went across the line and Stigemans put his arms up in salute, there was his teammate, Tom Bonin, patting him on the back and congratulating him on his victory. And who was the very first rider to get to Stegemans to congratulate him on his victory, who wasn't a Quickstep rider? It was the green jersey of Robbie McEwen. A very, very classy move. Then it was time for those involved in the crash to limp across the line, and limp they did. Several of the riders, including the yellow jersey of Fabian Cancellara, came across the line not holding the handlebars with at least one of their hands. Cancellara came across obviously nursing an injured left arm. It remains to be seen how bad that injury is and whether or not he'll be able to return to defend the yellow jersey again tomorrow. And that brings up a good point. Because the riders were involved in a crash in the last 3 kilometers of the race, international rules say that whatever group they were riding in at the time of the crash, that's the time that they will get. So even though they came across the line several minutes after the final finishers in the sprint, they will still get the same time. Of course, they won't get the sprint points that the finishers got, but they'll come across with the same time. And that means that the final standings in the race remain today as they were yesterday. So first, let's talk about the stage results. Again, first, second, and third went to Geert Stigemans, Tom Bonin, and Filippo Pozzato. Pozzato from Italy and the Leaky Goss team. Fourth went to Robert Hunter. We remember yesterday he took off a bit early and ended up not getting the final victory in the stage yesterday. Hunter's from South Africa and Team Barlow World. Fifth place, Roman Falu from France, also in fifth place yesterday from Team Agritubel. Sixth went to the green jersey, Robbie McEwen from Australia and the Predictor Lotto team. Seventh, Milram's Eric Zabel from Germany. In eighth, Heinrich Hausler from Germany and Team Gerol Steiner. Ninth place, Rabobank's sprinter Oscar Frere from Spain. And 10th went to Sebastien Chavanel from France and the Française de Joux team. The overall standings after Stage 2 show exactly what they showed yesterday. Fabian Cancellara in first, Andreas Klöden in second, David Miller in third, George Hincapie fourth, Bradley Wiggins in fifth, Vladimir Gusev in sixth, Vladimir Karpets in seventh, Tor Husoft in eighth, Alexander Vinokourov in ninth, and Thomas Dekker in tenth. After today's racing, the yellow jersey remains with Fabian Cancellara. The green jersey is now handed over to Tom Bonin from Quickstep with 56 sprinting points. Hot on his heels, though, is yesterday's green jersey of Robbie McEwen with just 55 points. The white jersey remains with Vladimir Gusev, and the polka dot jersey remains with David Miller. Tomorrow's Stage 3 is the longest stage of this year's Tour de France at 236.5 kilometers. It goes from Waregem in Belgium to Compiègne in France as we continue now south through France, heading down toward the Alps. There will be three intermediate sprints and one Category 4 climb, so it'll be up to Miller to make sure he gets himself some good points on that climb so that he can try to retain the polka dot jersey of the King of the Mountains. We'll see how it goes tomorrow, and of course, I'll bring you all the results right here on the Daily Tour Podcast. Well, as we've done the last couple of days, let's talk again briefly about another couple of ways that you can get some online updates throughout your day of what's going on live in real time in that day's stage. Well, we've told you already about Twitter and the way that you can get the Twitter updates, and a lot of you have been following my Fredcast Twitter feed. But I've had a lot of people who like to follow the Fredcast feed but aren't necessarily interested in the quite often updates that happen live during the tour stages. So instead, I've set up a second Twitter feed just for Tour de France updates. So go to Twitter right now and subscribe to Daily Tour. There's no space between daily or tour. Check it out at twitter.com/dailytour and subscribe so that you can get real-time live updates of what's going on in each day's stage of the Tour de France. And speaking of live updates, you're probably familiar with the heart rate monitor and telemetry company called Polar. Polar has a great website set up for you so that you can follow the heart rate, the speed, and the altitude of eight different cyclists throughout the race. And it's all updated live and in real time. And today it was very exciting as the riders got within 20 kilometers of the finish line and they were still chasing down that break. It was exciting to watch their heart rates as they climbed up the closer and closer the riders got to the finish. I've got a link in the show notes to where you can follow Polar's telemetry data. I've been doing it. I recommend that you check it out as well. Now, for those of you who may be new to bicycle racing, and this may be the first Tour de France that you're following, I realize that I've been using a number of terms that are sort of terms of art for cycling and cycling racing, and I thought that it might be good if at this point I took the time to explain some of those terms to you so that they'll make a little bit more sense. Well, the first term, and this is something we talked about the very first day of the Daily Tour podcast, and the term is prologue. Now, prologue isn't in the introduction to a book. Instead, in bicycle racing, it's the introduction to a stage race. And of course, stage races are multiple day events that go from point to point, like the Tour de France. The Tour de France is one of the largest stage races in the world. And the prologue is one kind of a beginning race for a stage race. And in this case, it was an individual time trial, which took one racer on the course at a time, racing against the clock instead of racing against other racers. So the prologue here was the beginning race of the Tour de France. Another word we use all the time is peloton. Of course, in French, they would pronounce it differently because it is a French word. And a peloton is simply the main group of racers. So when you consider the main group, you're looking at the peloton. Another word that you might have heard is the word attack. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody's trying to attack the individual riders. Instead, it simply is one or more riders who cause a sudden acceleration to move away and in front of the peloton or main group of riders. That's called an attack, and that's what leads to a breakaway, also called a break. Simply, a break is one or more riders who sprint away or attack the peloton in an effort to try to build a lead. As an example, in today's stage two of the Tour de France, three riders broke away, stayed away for a very long time so that they could gain either a stage win or at least sprint points. And very often that's what these breakaways are going for, is sprint points, or they're going for individual glory or team glory. So that's what a break or a breakaway is, then that can often lead to what's called a chase or a bridge. And that's when one or more riders sprint away from the main group of riders or from the peloton to try to catch the break. That is called a bridge or a chase. Now, quite often, some of the riders that you might find in a breakaway are what's known as domestiques. Domestiques are riders whose only job is to help their team leader win that day's stage race or the entire series, or for in this case, the Tour de France. A domestique might be somebody who helps pull the leader forward by breaking the wind in front of them, or it might be somebody who gets into the breakaway to slow them down and stymie their efforts to make sure that the leader, for instance, Fabian Cancellara, if they thought that today's breakaway was going to succeed, he might have sent one of his domestiques up to the front to try to cripple their efforts, to reel them back in order to defend the yellow jersey. So simply, a domestique is there to help the team leader. Now, another word that we've been using a lot is a sprint. Now, a sprint simply is a quick race to the finish line or to a midway point where you can earn points. In this case today, we talked about several intermediate sprints. On each stage, race organizers designate several locations along the route where bonus points are given to the first three riders that cross the lines. That sort of creates a race within the race during an entire stage. Besides intermediate sprints, there are also finishing sprints. So for instance, in yesterday's stage one, the way that Robbie McEwen was able to gain the green points jersey was by winning the finishing sprint, because at the finishing sprint, there are far more points available than there are at the intermediate sprints. And that's how he gained the jersey, and that's how Tom Bonin gained the jersey today, was by being so far ahead at the finishing sprint, in this case, taking second place. Now, someone who helps a team's sprinter to win a sprint is a certain kind of domestique known as a leadout. A racer's teammate, all of them, or one of them, will form a pace line in front of the leader, and they pull very hard to make sure that the race leader or the sprinter is able to conserve his energy so that when it comes time to break out of that pace line and sprint for the line, he has all of his energy available. And that pace line that gets formed in front of the sprinter is called a lead out. And that can oftentimes be just one person or several. And in this case today, Tom Bonin's lead out man was the one who won the stage for Team Quickstep. Now, just two more terms that I think are important for you to know. And the first is le flamme rouge. Flamme rouge simply means red flag. And as the racers ride very quickly toward the finishing line of every day's stage, you will see Le Flamme Rouge hanging just under an archway, an inflatable archway, and that signifies to the racers that they have 1 kilometer to go. So the Flamme Rouge simply means 1 kilometer until you get to the finish. And then finally, a term that you will oftentimes hear on the television coverage, they'll say that the riders took a natural, or that they took a natural break. You can imagine the amount of hydrating that these racers do both before and during the race. Hydration oftentimes means, you guessed it, urination, and that means that they're going to have to relieve themselves. Riders might take a group natural break, which means the entire peloton will literally stop or slow down, allowing the other racers or a large group of racers to do their business at the side of the road. And sometimes, instead of taking a group natural, an individual rider might go to the back of the peloton, stay on his bike, and do his business directly from his bike. I've seen this for myself. It's not pretty, but you know what? It's what has to be done, because it's very difficult to ride at your best with a full bladder, as you can imagine. So that's called a natural or a natural break. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is DailyTour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's TWITTER.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.